back in about 1984 or 85 at a conference in Miami, Florida, where a group of Asian, Black, Hispanic, and Native American peoples said we need materials to build strong congregations and that intersects and connects our history and tradition. And out of that came a task force or a committee of people who worked for 2 years in putting this material together. Carolyn Green is one who worked within the Lutheran circles to marshal this material and get this material produced. Some of the writers are here that wrote the material, Pastor Cheryl Stewart, Perro, Dr. Pete Perro, Bill Wong, Pastor Wong, whom you'll meet either this evening or later on in this next week, and myself, and several other people produce material for a variety of cultures. What we will do this afternoon will be experience part of the Black awareness material, Living Waters of Faith, Let Justice Roll Down Like Righteousness. We will experience an activity there and then talk about what that activity communicates to us in that. I'd like to begin by using a part of Luke 24, which is from material that I wrote on evangelism and service, or witness and service. You're probably familiar with this chapter. It's the chapter where people go to the tomb and find that Jesus is not there. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. And then they go and tell people about that, tell the apostles about that. And then we get to verse 13 and following, where we have the Emmaus Road trip. And on that journey, two of the disciples are talking with each other, and Jesus appears, and the disciples do not recognize Jesus. And then they begin to tell Jesus about what had occurred, and then Jesus, in the midst of all of that, begins to do some teaching. Well, verse 25, I want to read verse 25, 26, and 27, because that will be part of what we'll do. Jesus is speaking. How dull you are, he answered. How slow to believe all that the prophets said. Was the Messiah not bound to suffer thus before entering upon his glory? Then he began with Moses and all the prophets and explained to them the passages which referred to himself in every part of the scriptures. Verse 27 is the verse that I'm particularly interested in. In that verse, I think Jesus is helping the disciple, those two disciples, understand and perceive that there is a long, rich history that they are a part of, and that all of that history points to himself and how and what he was to be doing. And then what I've tried to do is simply translate that into the Black Lutheran tradition and say that there are prophets and teachers who have gone before us who have given witness and testimony to our experience with Jesus Christ. And then part of our task is to connect people with that. That without connecting people with the history and tradition of their particular community, of how God has acted within their particular community, they are not going to be able to witness and serve in today's world. In other words, we have to go back in order to go forward. The message that we've heard so eloquently shared by Dr. Featherstone and Dr. Perro. And so the activity that you will be participating in will be an activity that will help you go back so that you can go forward. I made some assumptions that you would be bringing paper and pencils, but that's always a false assumption. what I would like you to do is where those people who have paper, share a sheet of paper, and if there are enough pens around, we share those pens and pencils. And then on your paper, I'd like you to make a diagram like this. And number it. And then what we'll do is I will call out the question, and you'll have to go to a person in the room and ask them the answer to the question. For example, I'll ask you, who... Who was the missionary from the South Carolina Senate to Liberia? And you'll have to go to someone in the group here and get their name and write it in that first square, okay? You don't need to spend a lot of time doing it. Just go to someone, ask them if they don't know, go to someone else and ask them, and then we'll go on. Okay?
We don't know.
We don't know?
No, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We say don't come up.
Right, okay, right. Yeah, don't go to Cheryl, Lee, or Rudy. And don't come to me.
And I'm a Methodist, so.
Don't you want any answers, really?
Okay, if someone needs a pen, I have an extra pen.
It's going to be a bigger
life. Okay, you ready? Well, what the instructions are, the instructions are, I'll call out the question, and you are to go to a person and ask them for the answer, and then write the answer in that square. Okay? All right. Number one, in the first square.
Come on with your question.
Who was the missionary from the South Carolina Senate to Liberia?
That's a good
one. Go to someone that you think might have the answer. All right, number two. Who was the first black Lutheran professional theologian of the Lutheran Church?
First?
Who was the first black Lutheran professional theologian of the Lutheran Church?
His name was Taylor.
Don't tell me.
Write it down.
Or go ask somebody and have them tell you.
That's 25 years ago, right?
No.
Write it down. Write it down. All right. Number three. Who was the first black Lutheran bishop in the USA? Who was the first black Lutheran bishop in the USA?
Write it down for you.
Don't get it down there.
Number four.
Okay.
Number four. Who was the black woman to serve on the faculty of Japan Lutheran Seminary? Number five is easy.
That's what you call a gift point.
Number five, put your name there.
Yeah, ask somebody what it is.
What is your name?
If you're not sure, you're in trouble.
Now, if you're in a congregation that has black Lutherans in it, the question really ought to be phrased in a way that would say, what are they contributing to the life of the congregation? What is their contribution to the life of the congregation? And for them to put their name down, put their name in there. Number six, who was the president of the Alpha Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Friedman? Who was the president of the Alpha Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Friedman? Number seven. Who was a Lutheran pastor in 1839? Who was a Lutheran pastor in 1839?
Anybody?
Lutheran pastor.
Are you sure that isn't question number eight?
I'm positive.
That Japan, the lady in Japan.
Was number four.
That was number four. Okay.
This is a black Lutheran who was a pastor in 1839. Yeah, we're talking about black Lutherans
here.
Yeah,
I realize. I don't even know any white
Lutherans. Number eight. Who is the president of United Lutherans for Black Concerns of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? Who is the president of the United Lutherans for Black Concerns of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
We're supposed to help each other out.
Yeah, you know. Go and ask someone if you think that they may know the answer. Don't be shy about it. Number nine.
Wait a minute. You can't let them. They owe me a call.
Number nine. Who was the first black Lutheran bishop of a Lutheran church body in the United States of America?
Say it again, please.
Who was the first black Lutheran bishop of a Lutheran church body in the USA?
I know that one. Give me half of his name. A lot of people know that. Yeah.
Ready? Number 10.
Yes.
Number 10. Listen carefully. Who was the first black Lutheran pastor in the Lutheran Church in America? Who was the first black Lutheran pastor in the Lutheran Church in America? One of our former church bodies.
1962, right?
Number 11 is easy. It's another gift. In number 11, put a person's name from your congregation who makes valuable contributions to the life of the church and the world.
A black person?
put a person from your congregation who is black, or if they're not black, just add a person from your congregation. Put their name there, because they make valuable contributions to the church and the world. Just write a name of a person from your congregation. Number 12.
No.
Who was the, we're talking about Black Lutherans now. Who served as president of Lutheran World Federation? Who served as president of Lutheran World Federation?
That's easy.
Yeah, that's easy.
That would be
the easiest
one. Oh,
yeah.
Now, you guys should
have
been
able to get
an
answer.
I know that. Yes, you know the Methodists. The Methodists know that.
Okay, number 13 ought to be easy for those of you who are part of the ELCA. Who is the present executive director of the Commission for Multicultural Ministries?
What number is that?
13. That's a huge. Who is the present executive director of the Commission for Multicultural Ministries?
That's beyond me.
Number 14. Listen carefully. Who was the first black woman ordained by the ALC? One of the predecessor bodies of the ELCA. And number 15, this is again, it's Black Lutherans. She serves as Secretary of Christian Education in the Department of Studies of Lutheran World Federation. She serves as Secretary of Christian Education in the Department of Studies of Lutheran World Federation. Okay. Now, what would you have for number one? Anybody have anything for number one?
What was the question?
He's a missionary from Liberia. That person's name is Boston Drayton, D-R-A-Y-T-O-N. He was commissioned and ordained by the South Carolina Synod back in about 1845 and was sent to Liberia to start mission work there. Became very popular and active there and went on to become an official in the government there. Boston J. Drayton, D-R-A-Y-T-O-N. Number two. Who has something for number two? The question was the first Black Lutheran, professional Black Lutheran theologian of the LCA, of Lutheran Church.
Not the ELCA.
Just of the Lutheran Church.
It's Pete Peril.
We have a living legend among us.
I'm professional.
Let me finish.
I just didn't know they paid him.
Dr. Peril received his Doctorate of Sacred Theology in 1975. And he was the first Black Lutheran to receive a professional degree to teach theology in the Lutheran Church in America.
In the Lutheran Church.
Period.
Nelson Trout does not have a PhD.
Or a PhD.
Okay. Where did he get these?
We've had a lot of people.
Where did he get these doctors?
We've had a lot of black folks teaching in seminary. Where did you get them?
Yeah, where did you get yours?
Well, the nearest candidate.
All right, number three had to do with the bishop in the LCA in the USA. The first black Lutheran bishop in the USA.
Nelson Trout.
There you go. Nelson Trout was elected in 1983?
Four.
Of the Pacific.
South Pacific District
of the ALC.
Right. There's some of our folks here today that were at the convention and voted for.
All right, number four had to do with a black woman who served on the faculty of Japan Lutheran Seminary. Any guesses?
Tokyo Rosa.
Joyce Osborne.
Tell us a little bit about her.
Joyce taught English there from a congregation in New York, Resurrection Lutheran in New York.
Queens.
Layperson. Number five should be easy. Should be your name. Number six, that's the president of the Alpha Synod. Any guesses? D.J. Koontz. David James Koontz. He's a served as the president of the Alpha Synod. The Alpha Synod was formed in 1888, I believe it was, in North Carolina, St. John's Lutheran Church. He was ordained in about 1884, was the first black Lutheran ordained in the North Carolina Synod, I believe. The Alpha Synod was in existence for 1 year. President Koontz died mysteriously. Some of the history says he may have been poisoned to death. And then in 1890, the congregations, they had four pastors and about 200 members, five congregations or preaching stations. They all became part of the Missouri Synod in 1891 in North Carolina. Number seven, a Lutheran pastor in 1839.
I think his name was Taylor.
Who?
Taylor? That last name?
Taylor? No.
Mouton.
Hmm?
I said Mouton.
No. Daniel Alexander Payne. We've all heard his name before. Daniel Alexander Payne. Came out of St. John's Lutheran Church in Charleston, came north, was sent north by John Bachman, who was the pastor of that congregation. He went to Gettysburg Seminary, I believe, and studied. In about 1837 or thereabouts, he began to do some work in Troy. He served a Presbyterian congregation, was ordained in 1839. There was not a Lutheran church available for him. 2 years later, 1841, he joined the AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal Church, and went on to become a bishop, historian, and the president of Wilberforce University. A very learned man and a very high scholar, and pastor and bishop.
There was a pastor we just read about in the Lutheran not long ago. It was a Lutheran quarterly that historic magazine I read. But it was about the same time, and I don't know if his name was Taylor or not, but he got kicked around a lot. Was that his name, Jones? Yeah. He was really treated shabbily.
Yes. This person, it's also in some of the records, they have John Jones. He came out of the same congregation, was sent to New York, and when he was in New York, he started some congregations. He started a couple in Philadelphia. The New York Ministerium had sent him some money to start some work, and apparently they did not approve of the way he was using the money, and then they eventually dropped him from the rolls, just completely ignored him.
He ended up in jail. He ended up being jailed for his activities,
right,
just as a pastor.
Yep. Number 8. It's the president of United Lutherans for Black Concerns. Joe?
Joe knows.
Oh.
I lost to James Thomas.
Right.
You lost to James Thomas. All right, that's a good way to say it.
James Thomas, Pastor James Thomas, he's assistant to the bishop for the Eastern Metropolitan Minnesota Synod, formerly a pastor in New York. United Lutherans for Black Concerns was organized in 1987 and is the Black Caucus of the ELCA. Number 9, the first Black Lutheran bishop of a Lutheran church body in the USA. Hertzfeld. Will Hertzfeld became the bishop of the AELC in 84. He is pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Oakland, California. And one of his members is sitting over there.
The other one is sitting over here.
Yeah. And another one is sitting here. All right, there's some others here too, aren't there?
His son.
Marty Hertzfeld, we all have met.
He's not in the room.
Number 10, first Black Lutheran woman ordained as a pastor in the LCA.
Oh, you didn't say woman.
Yes, I think I did. Because it says woman here, so I know it says
in the LCA.
In the LCA.
Yeah.
In the LCA. Any guesses?
Gwen Johnson.
Good guess, but that's Earlene Miller. She was ordained in 1979, August.
I don't think the other Lutheran bodies have produced a black woman in ministry.
In other words, she was the first Black woman to be ordained by Lutheran.
Yeah, not just
right,
so
right.
We don't have anyone purple or any other.
Okay.
Yeah, that should be Lutheranism, period. Number 11 is just add a person's name from your congregation. Number 12. You served as president of Lutheran World Federation. Black Lutheran served as president of Lutheran World Federation.
It's a J, but it's a K.
Jomo
Kenyatta. Josiah.
Josiah
Kabira. Kabira.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah, we got it. We had to find one African among Lutherans. We found one.
Bishop Kabira was elected in 1977 in Dar es Salaam at the 6th Assembly of the Lutheran World Federation and served for 7 years as president of Lutheran World Federation. Number 13, present executive director for the Commission for Multicultural Ministries.
Craig Lewis.
Right. 14, this is where we'll have problems in the question 10. The way this would be phrased would be, who was the first woman ordained by the ALC? who was the first black woman ordained by the ALC? Laura Griffin or Maria Alma Copeland? Laura Griffin is from Chicago, Holy Spirit Lutheran Church. She now serves in Washington, D.C.
Maryland.
Just outside. Just outside of Washington. Maria Alma Copeland is in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, the reason there are two...
At Good Shepherd in Cleveland.
The reason there are two names here is because there is some confusion about the dates. And rather than add any confusion, I just put both of them there. So either one, I think, would suffice there until we can get that straight.
Formerly.
Who?
She's formerly an ALC woman.
Formerly ALC.
That's a little hint.
Formerly served in Minneapolis on national staff.
Her initials are
what?
SH.
May I have the envelope, please?
There you go.
Sandra Holloway serves as Secretary of Christian Education. In the Lutheran World Federation. Now you see that the whole point of this exercise is to begin to get people connected with their roots and to see that there is both contemporary witnesses and people who have served over the years, so that as we begin to do our witness and our service, we can see that we have examples of people that we can go back and learn about and help us do what we're going to do in the future, in the present and the future. How did you feel about what we did? What feelings were generated?
Ignorance.
Uninformed. Frustration at your ignorance.
All right. There was another one over here. I heard ignorance, frustration, and our ignorance.
Somebody said they were felt dumb.
Interest.
Gentlemen? Interest? Okay. Any other feelings?
Well, that feeling I have is black people have a long history in the Lutheran Church. Mm-hmm. I realize you all had us at the prison.
Yes?
I feel like even if the questions were about white people, I wouldn't know the answers any better. So,
it's a sense of being deprived because that information and Jim is just as much part of our history.
I want to share something here. This exercise I developed because I was concerned in North Carolina. They put together what they call a film on archives and history and how to preserve history in North Carolina of congregations. And I saw this film strip that they put together. They had nothing in there about black Lutherans, nothing in there about black congregations in North Carolina, of which there were two. And there was a long history there. And none of this was being depicted and shared. And so I then went into the archives and into the minutes of the North Carolina Senate back to 1803 when the Senate was formed and pulled out all this information. And I was angry because we are taught in college and in the seminary the history and tradition of another community. We're not taught this kind of history to help us see that we are a part of this church and to help us understand the vastness of the church and the breadth of the church and that cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. That's what I think the Living Waters of Faith series is about. Each community has developed a cultural awareness curriculum to begin to help teach not only their particular communities, their history and tradition, but then also to share with others their history and tradition and the importance of the witness that people have been made known. We have samples of that material here, and I encourage you to browse through it. You can order this material from Augsburg and Fortress Church Supply Stores. Those of you who are everybody can check in your major metropolitan cities, and if they do not have it in stock, they will ship it to you. It ranges in price from $2.95 down to, I believe it's $1.95. Each ethnic community, with the exception of the Native community, has a pupil book and a leader guide with activities and there that can be used with adults and with, I'd say, senior high people, young people. And it's an excellent way, I think, to get some idea of how each community views and interprets their history, their faith, as they have encountered the Lutheran Church. So we commend this to you as a resource that you can use within your congregation to help build a sensitivity to the multicultural aspect of the church. That's all I was going to share with you in a light way. If you have any questions, we certainly would welcome them. Let me introduce Pastor Bill Wong, who is the Director for Asian Ministries, and he serves with me with the Commission for Multicultural Ministries. Do you have any questions?
In addition to these, are there other studies you're aware of with the multicultural ministries?
There are other denominations that have materials available. I believe the United Methodist Church has material that they've produced. I'm not familiar with others, but I do know of the United Methodist. Presbyterians have material produced also.
Are any of those materials to be used with junior high school or even younger children? Or are there any plans for, you said senior high, what about?
The material originally, I believe, in the original development was for adults and senior high young people, specifically. I'd say it would have to depend on your knowledge of the students and the material to be able to know whether or not it can be used with younger people. But the material has been specifically designed for adults and young adults. Other denominations may have materials that have been produced for younger people, juniors and primaries. I believe the Presbyterian and the United Methodist has material that's been produced for junior high and primary children.
Roman Catholics will have that.
And I'm sure probably the Roman Catholics have too.
Did you foresee congregations using each one of these, or just one that would be of particular interest to them, or what was the, that every congregation would go through all five of them, or what was the
philosophy? You answered the question. You've answered your question.
Okay. Tell me what I answered then. I'm not sure what I
our plan was that every congregation would use all of the materials. In other words, we produced the material for the use of the whole church. Every congregation, we're saying, ought to and needs to use the material. Not only do we want to say to Black Lutherans specifically, to use this material, but we want to say to Black Lutherans, use the material from the Asian community, the Hispanic community, the Native American Indian community, also, so that we can learn about each other and truly build an understanding and perception of what it means to be related to each other and what it means to be part of a multicultural church and world.
Could you give a sample of the town center then?
Sure. Yes, the organizing principle behind this was that we would take the five functions of the church, worship, witness, service, learning, and support, and on the basis of that, develop a curriculum around it. So, for example, in the pupil book, we have a dedication to Massey Kennard, Dr. Massey Kennard, who was very active within the LCA circles in multicultural ministry. We have chapters on history, remembering the past to engage the future. We have a chapter, a part on worship and celebration that's titled By the Rivers of Babylon. We have a chapter on support titled Liberation, Trying to Grow. We have a chapter on witness and service, and we have a chapter or a part on celebration, liberation, servanthood, where do we go from here? And each of those parts have been broken down into chapters so that people can read the material and then in some kind of way, discussion format or an activity like we did here with devotions can become familiar with this and build on that. And then each community wrote according to the five functions of the church. Some of them may not have identified all five functions. And the Native American materials does not have a leader guide. They just have one book because that's the way they felt they ought to produce the curriculum that they wanted. There should be just one book, and their method of teaching and educating is different than how the other communities might do it. But that's the type of material that we have in here. There's an opportunity to develop a worship service. There's an opportunity to look at support. There's an opportunity to do activities that will assist in developing what does it mean to get people to pledge and to tithe. All of those things that are consistent, for example, with the Black religious tradition. And I would dare say that each community does the same thing.
There was a question that came up from one of the brothers here that we know we have no black people, we have no Asians in our community and so forth. And that kind of material helps introduce folk without them being present in the
congregation.
That's
fair.
And I wanted to ask a question. Did anybody know this material existed before you came?
Okay.
So we were right, our church is not, you know, I'm chomping at the bit to communicate that this is a magnet person looking at. You know, it's like business as usual, just like black folks and Asians have been producing material, you know, for the last 100 years. So we'll go back and you'll probably read about the building being surrounded.
Well, we want to encourage you, yes, to go back and to order the material. And then I would say use the material and then write us and let us know what you think so that in our future work, we can continue to produce this type of material.
I think Elmer, didn't Elmer say that there's a set in the bookstore?
Here?
I think so.
Is there a set of the Living Waters of
Faith
material?
Oh, yes, he said that.
Yeah,
I thought he said that. So, in other words, if people want to have closer examinations, I think there's a full set in the bookstore.
And I have a full set here. I'll be here to Monday, but I need to have my full set with me when I leave Monday.
Right.
So you're
going to put them on close reserve.
Yeah.
Something.
So
that's right. 1 hour to talk.
So if you would like, we'll make that available for you to look through and browse through it.
Now, is the multicultural ministries, is that
is that a separate division of our church?
Yes, it's a unit of the church.
So it's a separate, is it called a division or not?
It's a commission. Commission.
Among commissions.
Among, yes, there are three commissions, or four commissions. Commission for Multicultural Ministries, Commission for Women, Commission for Financial Support. And then we have four divisions or five divisions. We have like the Division for Outreach, Division for Congregational Life, etc. Okay, thank you.